Welcome to the Disrupt Education Podcast. I'm Peter Hostrasser, the host. Hey, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. Do me a favor, hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, throw a question our way. We'd love to hear from you at Disrupt Education. If you get a chance, head over to disrupteducation.co and you can check out where I'm at. You can read my blog. You can connect with me there. I would love to hear from you at disrupteducation.co. I'm a proud partner of the Ed Up Experience Podcast Network. If you go to edupexperience.com, you can see all the different partners, the podcast there, basically anything and everything around education, K through 16 and on, education podcasts, talking, events. There's so much to do at edupexperience.com. Head over there and check that out. If you are in the place to where you want to start your own e-learning course, hit the link in the notes of this podcast. The e-learning partners are offering a free masterclass for you. You got to check it out. I know the two owners of e-learning partners, and they are an amazing crew, and they really want to help people start their learning journeys and teaching journeys online. The e-learning partners link is in the notes. On this podcast, I have Matthew Radbard. And I got to tell you, he's a former men's college basketball coach and a senior level college athletics administrator. And he's got a doctoral in educational leadership. He's published a book called Lead Like a Pro, Effective Leadership Styles for Athletic Coaches. And he's diving deep into different ways that leaders in education, not only on the fields and the courts, but as in the classrooms, can really learn from sports coaches' leadership practices. And this is a great conversation with Matthew. Hang out with us. We'll be right back with Matthew right after these messages. I recently asked Jake, who is a sophomore in high school, why he uses SpikeView to share his learning journey.
I think it's really cool that, you know, SpikeView is really putting that abstract into concrete data and knowledge and then displaying that to the outside world. And I think SpikeView is different than anything else out there. Like I said before, because it's really taking that, you know, those abstract skill sets and those abstract experiences and putting them into data that, you know, is actually mathematic and scientific and, you know, that matches you up with the best programs and, you know, best places for you. People, you know, who are really trying to make those changes in the world, and they're going to be using SpikeView because SpikeView is that app where you can, you know, take those experiences and take those passions and put them out there and share with other people. And that's, you know, that's really powerful. And that, you know, that professional networking piece, you know, to be with other like-minded teenagers, that puts you ahead. That puts you ahead in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I think anyone who uses SpikeView right now has a leg up in the future. And excited to see, you know, where those SpikeView alumni head up.
Head to SpikeView.com. Start your portfolio now for free. Are you an individual or business wanting to create an online course or training program, but are overwhelmed with the e-learning process and don't even know where to start? If so, you don't want to miss this free masterclass called Create and Launch a Successful E-Learning Program, Online Course, or Virtual Training, where you will learn the biggest mistake most people make with e-learning, the number one reason most e-learning programs fail, and the three pillars to create extraordinary value for your learners every time, and much more. Get instant access to the free masterclass right now by clicking on the link in the description. All you have to do is sign in and you will get instant access to this free masterclass right now. Welcome to this episode of Disrupt Education. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. I got a great guest today. Matthew Radbard is here, and he is of Radbard Leadership Consulting, Sports Leadership Consulting. He's coming in on the sports side. He's got extensive knowledge around actually coaching, sports administration, and he has tweaked a way to really teach people more about how to educate and lead teams and groups and organizations. Matthew, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Awesome. Now, so that was kind of a jumbled introduction there. So I wanted to kind of throw it your way. Can you tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you're doing with your consulting?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I got into college athletics as a men's basketball coach. You know, I did that for over a decade and had the opportunity kind of toward the end to move into administration, and been doing athletics administration for the last 5 or 6 years as well. And you know, enjoyed both roles, felt like I could have a good impact in both roles. And then kind of recently, you know, through a few different things and writing a book, decided to kind of go out on my own and kind of take this opportunity to take the next step. So coaching to administration to now working with coaches and administrators to help them refine their leadership practice.
There's so many pieces of synergy here with education, teaching, coaching, mentoring. And I can't wait to get into that and see how you're disrupting education in a good way. But let's go back and chat a little bit about Matthew as a student and, you know, those early days of coaching and what you've learned, your learning moments and experiences there. Can you take us through that journey and maybe some high points and low points to kind of that still stick with you today that you you help others kind of iron out in the education and coaching world?
Yeah, you know, I was really fortunate. You know, I was a pretty good student growing up. You know, not the greatest student, but you know, I was okay. I wasn't necessarily connected to education in the way that, in looking back on it, I wish I was. I had subjects I really liked, and I tried really hard in those, and everything else I just tried to get by. But you know, when I had the opportunity to take my kind of first coaching job at Western Mexico University, you know, my focus was just on coaching, being a coach, X's and O's, recruiting, coaching on the floor. I didn't know what it really meant to be a coach, to be a leader, particularly at that level. But I was really lucky because, you know, at the time, I was required, if I accepted that job, to be enrolled in a graduate program. And, you know, based on my background, educational leadership ended up being a really good fit for me and also a program that I could thankfully get into. And so I kind of fell into leadership, and it was something that over the course of my career, I honed in on more and more and realized the importance of more and more. And then the educational aspect of it, after a while, feeling like, how can I, as a coach, get more educational opportunities to improve my leadership? And then eventually leading me to, you know, there aren't enough opportunities for coaches and higher ed administrators to really get a lot of specific leadership training that's geared towards them, and kind of realizing that was a really good path for me to kind of inject my experience and knowledge.
Were there any coaches or maybe administrators along the way that you can just, you don't have to identify them by name, but was there anybody along that way that were kind of like also adding to that story?
You know, I've been fortunate. I worked for a lot of really supportive coaches and administrators over the years. But I've also had a lot of head coaches, and I've had a lot of athletic directors. So I've seen a lot of different styles. And it was interesting because when we kind of, you had mentioned before, kind of high moments and low moments, kind of a high moment in looking back was the opportunity to go to graduate school and continue my education. Kind of a low moment was kind of while, you know, I had been in the kind of coaching profession for 8 or 10 years, kind of struggling to move up and advance, kind of hit a plateau. And I was looking for something to kind of make me different. And at the time, you know, I had an athletic director who I didn't really connect with very well. We just had very different styles. I respected them, but it just didn't really mesh. But one thing was they had a doctorate. And, you know, as I was kind of struggling through things with my own personal journey and career in coaching, you know, I kind of looked at them and I said, okay, even though we don't have a lot in common with our personalities, our belief systems as a leader, you know, what can I take away from them? There's always something. And I thought to myself, you know, having a doctorate, pursuing more education, that can only help me in the future. And that was when it started, you know, kind of turning in my mind that there's an opportunity here for me to not only focus on improving my own leadership practice as a coach and administrator, but also to get more education and help other people. And that was a really big moment for me that kind of came out of a really difficult time.
You know, it is when you look at those opportunities, and that's what I love hearing is when people see the opportunities, even in struggles, that you continue to move forward and you know, the clarity of your educational path comes with you. I wanted to kind of pick into, and maybe this is going to go right into the disrupt education question of improving education. You and I know, we know that there's different coaching styles, there's different learning styles, there's different leadership styles and such. Well, let's just jump in there. How do you mesh all those things together? How do you help people on the coaching side, but we also know there's an administrator side, there's an educational side to this. What's your secret, my man? How do you do all that?
So, you know, to me, leadership is we're all taking from the kind of same pool here of leadership styles, leadership behaviors, and there's so much crossover, you know, education, sports, administration, whatever it is, even other professions, business, and, you know, everything else. We're all kind of going from the same kind of leadership pool, and how my view is sports. My view is administration through sports. That's just the lens that I view leadership. But ultimately, what I tell everybody, and this is from sports administrators to people who are outside of the profession that are just interested in learning what other people are doing in other leadership roles, is ultimately it starts with who you are as a leader. And I think that, you know, I think it's something that I've seen so much in coaching, but I've also, now that, you know, we're graduating student athletes into the world, I'm seeing it a lot in other professions as well, is, you know, this not having an understanding of not only who you are as a leader early on, because that's hard when you're young, but it's not understanding the importance of viewing yourself as a leader. And I think oftentimes what happens, especially with people that are young or new to a profession, is they gravitate towards what's working for other people. And they try to replicate that or model their practice off of that. And I think that kind of takes them into a place where it doesn't necessarily something that's going to work for them long-term or fit for them. So I always start with, no matter who it is, that's kind of, I guess if you want to call it my secret, is let's take it all the way back and let's first figure out who are you as a leader? What's important to you? What are your leadership core values and beliefs? And then let's build your leadership practice off of that, based on that. And let's do everything we can to support that as the foundation of your leadership practice.
You know, we see that a lot with students as well, at different levels. New teachers, and I go back as you were stating that, I was thinking about when I was a new teacher, and exactly right. What was working, what was, you know, taught to me in this, you know, in this college program. And you don't really realize what kind of teacher leader you are. Also, students and even players, you know, where their roles come in, what are their values? What are some things that, you know, some suggestions you have for leaders to really start to take a look at, or those identifiers to what your values are, what your style is?
Yeah, so I always say, start with, you know, what kind of person are you? What's your personality? What are your beliefs? You know, for me, and also a key question that I ask early on is, why are you doing this job? You know, and not only why do you want to be a coach, why do you want to be a coach of high school kids, college kids? Why do you want to be a math teacher in middle school? Why is it this specific job with this specific group or whatever it is? Really hone in on that. And I know for me, a kind of moment of clarity I had with that was, you know, I was kind of struggling early in my career up and down, trying to figure out the leader I was. And when I kind of had the moment of clarity, you know, through a certain experiences and ups and downs of, okay, I'm doing this because, you know, I really want to have an impact on college age kids who are about to go into the workforce. I really like building strong relationships with them. I really like helping them learn, grow, and develop, and seeing that maturity. Once I learned those things about myself, now I realize, okay, you know, building strong relationships with your students, that's a huge leadership behavior, right? You know, how I want to communicate with them, huge leadership behaviors. So it was about figuring out, you know, what's important to me, but also why am I doing this? And I think, you know, the combination of those two things, I think, really informs your leadership practice.
So another question, and thank you for sharing that. It really does. I mean, the why. Why am I doing? I don't know why anybody would want to be a math teacher in middle school, by the way. But that's a tough one. Kudos to the listeners who are math teachers in middle school. One of the things that I wanted to ask is we've been in this kind of pandemic world for the last, 18, 20 months. Rules are changing around, how we're meeting with people and working with teams and all these different things. How do you think that affects leadership strategies and styles? And what have you seen and possibly some ways to help people kind of manage through that, I would call it, choppy waters of the CDC and all these different rules and changes that happen quickly, not only in the classroom, but on the court or on the field or wherever?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's something that I think about a lot, especially in administration, because, I'm somebody who it's very important to have face-to-face interactions with people, whether it's our students or just, people on campus, just instead of picking up the phone or sending an email, walking to their office and face-to-face, building relationships that way. But when that's not possible, a few things that I think are really important is, making sure that, because, in the face-to-face, we kind of get the opportunity to just kind of run into meetings or run into interactions. You're walking down the hall, you're in your office, somebody comes in, there's all these opportunities for face-to-face interactions that are unplanned. But when you don't have those, you've got to plan it out. So I think, the importance of taking the time to really still emphasize and schedule one-on-one interactions, it can be difficult, but those one-on-ones are so important, and not always having them be centered around a problem. So it's not, I'm going to meet with you because one-on-one because you're having this issue. It's, I'm going to meet with you one-on-one to check in because we haven't talked in a while. Let's continue to establish that relationship between you and I. And I think also still that the accessibility piece is still really important. One thing we do is even after, we would have our kind of big team study halls or big group meetings, staying on afterward and allowing for there to be breakout one-on-ones afterwards so that there could be follow-up, kind of trying to mimic as best you can that type of interpersonal experience, I think is so important. And then also, I think as many contacts as you could have, check-ins, they could be 2 minutes, but if it's face-to-face over Zoom, for them to see you, and then follow up with a text or an email and just all of those contacts, mixing them together, I think is also really important for everyone.
I like the fact that, that face-to-face and the planning really does, you can feed off of your players as well. I mean, as a coach myself from high school, even just having those conversations can make it not so lonely, especially at the top when you are leading a team or an administration of people. In this pandemic, I can tell you from my experiences, I'm sure you've seen it, a lot of administrators are struggling. I mean, it's very, very difficult because, as an educator, you see it with athletic directors, et cetera, on and on. Changes are happening and people are not happy and they're getting it from all sides. Outside of, planning some meetings up front, what are some of the things that can avoid burnout for administrators and leaders, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think that, now more than ever, the accessibility of everybody, it's almost like we're all working 24 hours a day now, because, before we were in the office, you leave the office, you had an opportunity to leave work at the office at times. But now, so I think that, it's never too late to draw or establish boundaries. It's never too late to go back. So even if for the last 18 months, you've been answering emails at 10 o'clock at night and responding to texts, and it's never too late to draw that boundary again. You need to explain to people who have maybe come to expect that why you need to draw that boundary. People are going to understand because they're largely feeling it as well, including the students. And so I always encourage people, just because you've established it for however long, go back, draw those boundaries where you feel comfortable. And just say, you know what, I am not going to set a couple of goals for yourself. You know, I know for me personally, you know, I had to say, you know what, during dinner, you know, bath time, you know, everything, I'm not going to have my phone in the room. I'm going to turn off the email notification on my phone. So I'm not, you know, and so I had to draw that boundary. So I'm not taking calls and, you know, while I'm trying to do other things with my kids and taking away from them or anything else. So, you know, and that was kind of a hard boundary to draw because I had been doing that for months and months. And it was even hard for me feeling like, okay, things are going on and I'm missing them and I need to be responding. But ultimately, everything was okay. And I responded when it was, you know, a time where I was more comfortable responding. When, and also, I think, especially when you're in a leadership role, establishing that boundary really helps the people on your team or the people that work for you, because it really gives them this opportunity to establish those boundaries for themselves. Whereas before, they might have been apprehensive to do it because they saw, well, I can't do that because my boss isn't. And if my boss is doing it, how's it going to look if I'm not? And I think that's an opportunity for you to establish some of those boundaries, you know, and help out the people you work with or work for, you know, even your colleagues in similar roles, and just take the pressure off of everybody a little bit that, you know what, we're all going to draw these kind of boundaries together. And therefore, you know, you're not going to have so much pressure to kind of, you know, break into some of those boundaries that you've set.
Yeah, that's great advice. I live and die by my Google Calendar, and it is shut off at certain times, and I see those spaces. That's so true. So my last question is kind of a bigger one, and I want to see, like, in the sports world, sports is, especially as a sports leader, it is education, and it is I think it's a very effective type of education. Being the son of football, basketball, baseball—not basketball, but baseball and wrestling coach—growing up, there was a lot I learned from my father, not only as a father figure, but also as a coach, and obviously other coaches. What's one or two things that you would like to see change for the better in that sports education world, at any level?
Yeah, you know, the first thing, and this has kind of become a mission of mine, is, you know, not only to have coaches really understand that they are leaders, but also understand the power of their leadership decisions, and know that, you know, having that power to positively or negatively affect your athletes through your leadership decisions, they really need to be intentional. They need to be very specific, and they need to be grounded in who you are and what you believe. It, you know, coaches, you know, like a lot of people in a lot of professions, coaches are asked to wear a ton of different hats, just like teachers, right? You know, it's not just this traditional X's and O's on the court or recruiting, going to practice and then going home. It's so many more things now, particularly being a mentor, being a friend, being a confidant, being a mother or father figure. There are so many other roles that take a really nuanced and well thought out and developed leadership practice to really take on. And so I try to stress to coaches, let's be intentional about your leadership choices. Let's teach you how to do that. Let's give you the foundational leadership knowledge and the tools to be very specific about how, and I always give coaches the example, you know, with students nowadays, is it best when you're giving them a critique to bring them over to the sideline, you know, and do it one-on-one? Or is it best to yell it across the court in front of the whole team? What do you think is best for your team, right? For most kids, it's probably going to be bring them over to the sideline and talk to them. That's a very intentional leadership choice that a lot of kids, both good and bad, are going to react to. So you need to understand the power of it and do what you think is best. If you think yelling across the court to get your point across quickly is fine, great. But I want you to have thought through that decision and understand the potential pros and cons of it before you continuously do it at practice or anywhere else.
That happens in the classroom. It happens on the court. It's there's, like I said at the beginning of this entire podcast, there's so many synergies. So how can people meet up with Matthew Raidbird and your Raidbird Sports Leadership Consulting. How can people connect with you reach out? Because I know you have a plethora of services that are unique. And I like the sports and the education and the leadership all kind of tied into one.
Yeah. So, Raidbird Sports Leadership Consulting, like you said, I do a lot of educations, trainings, and I try to customize everything. Everybody's got different needs. The same kind of training or educational session is not going to be the same for everyone. So I always try to work with everybody, figure out what their needs are, and then customize what kind of works best for them. So they could definitely reach out to me, through my website, Raidbird Leadership. I'm always on LinkedIn. They connect with me on LinkedIn. I love hearing from people. And even if it's just to have a leadership conversation or they have a question about something, definitely feel free to reach out as well.
And for all my athletic director listeners, which my brother is one of them, obviously a great asset here. I think you have a unique lens coming in, especially helping in the high school area, because you've seen the next level, you've worked with the next level as well. Make sure you check out your site. It's raidbardleadership.com. We'll put that in the notes. Matthew, I want to thank you so much for sharing your journey with us today on Disrupt Education.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. This was great. I really appreciate it.
And everybody else listening, thank you. We'll catch you next time on Disrupt Education.